The Lord be with you. We struggle to see God in the suffering we face. So in the suffering, Jesus shows us the face of God. Let me explain what I mean by that. And to explain, let me start at the end to make sense of the beginning. The end of our gospel reading today is about a father and a son. And the son of this father is a boy who is suffering. A spirit seizes him. He shrieks. He convulses on the ground. He foams at the mouth. The father begged the disciples for help, for healing, and for peace to cast the spirit out of the boy, but the disciples could not. And so the father begs Jesus, but not for help, not for healing and peace, not to cast the spirit out. The father begs Jesus for something much more fundamental. The father cries out, "I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." You see, in order to help someone who is suffering, the first and hardest thing we have to do is look at the person who is suffering. And I say it is the hardest thing to do because it is hard to look at someone who is suffering. It's hard for many reasons. It's hard, first of all, because we have a vague sense of wanting to be considerate for the person who is suffering. We don't want to bring attention to their pain, and so we look away. It is hard because of fear for ourselves. To look at someone else who is suffering is to admit that we could also experience that same suffering. It is hard to look at someone who is suffering out of shame. Shame that when we look at someone who is suffering, we acknowledge the pain that we are in, that they are in, and we acknowledge that most of the time we are doing nothing to solve it, either because we do not have the means or we do not have the will. But perhaps the greatest challenge of looking at someone who is suffering is that so often, we see the suffering and not the someone. We see the pain and not the person. We see the missing limb of an amputee and not the veteran who served her country. We see the drunken ramblings on the street and not the father who is in pain at the way he treated his children. We see dots on a map or statistics on the news or pictures of rubble on TV and not the mother in Kyiv who is just trying to figure out how she will celebrate her daughter's birthday. And so perhaps when the father in our gospel story today brings his son to the disciples, perhaps the disciples see only the shrieks, the convulsing, the foam at the mouth, and not what the father asks them to see. Because when the father begs of Jesus, the father begs, "Look at my son." And then he says what he wants Jesus to see. "He is my only child." The disciples struggle to see even the person in the pain. And so how much less can they see God in the suffering that they face? And if they cannot see God there, how can they call upon God to be there and bring healing and peace? And how can we? And this is not the first time that the disciples have struggled to see God in the suffering that they face. 9 days earlier, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, first of the disciples, answers, "You are the Messiah of God." And Jesus says, "Yes, you are correct." And then Jesus explains that he, as the Messiah of God, must undergo great suffering, rejection, and die. And that doesn't go over super well with the disciples. Matthew and Mark's accounts go so far as to say that Peter tries to rebuke Jesus for suggesting that God's Messiah would suffer and die. Peter cannot see his Savior in the suffering that Jesus describes. Peter cannot see his God in the suffering that he will face. And if we're honest, maybe neither can we. We turn on the news right now and we see the full-scale conquest of a country. We see senseless suffering. We see a world poised on the brink of war, and we ask ourselves, where is God in all of this? And so, Jesus, 8 days after saying these things, takes Peter and James and John, his companions, and in a way, Jesus takes us also up a mountaintop. And there, in the peaceful tranquility above the chaos of the world, Jesus shows Peter, Jesus shows his disciples, Jesus shows us a Savior that we can recognize. Jesus shows us a God that we can look at. Just like when Moses went out up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and be in the presence of God, so too Jesus' face on this mountain begins to shine with God's glory. His appearance is transformed to radiate the divine glow. And beside him suddenly appear Moses and Elijah. These are saviors that we can see and understand. These are prophets of old who have shown us God's glory. They commanded the sea. They called down fire from heaven to break the will of tyrants, to set God's people free. These people have shown us a God that we can see. And it says that Moses and Elijah are speaking to Jesus about his departure. The literal word for departure in Greek is exodus, and that is no coincidence. Moses and Elijah are speaking to Jesus about the exodus that he will accomplish, the liberation of God's people. And then our gospel goes on to tell us this liberation, this exodus, will be accomplished in Jerusalem. And if we have read the end of the gospel to make sense of the beginning, we know what kind of end Jesus will accomplish in Jerusalem. What kind of departure he will have. It is a departure of suffering and death. It is a departure on the cross. And apparently Peter is clued in on this also, because Peter doesn't like the sound of what he's hearing. Before anyone can leave, before anyone can depart, Peter speaks up, because in this moment Peter has seen a God that he can recognize. Peter has seen a God of power and might, a God of love and light, a God who is victorious over sin and death, a God in whom the living and the dead are united and rejoicing together. And Jesus wants to give all this up for the cross, not on Peter's watch. And so Peter says, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." On that beautiful mountaintop, Peter is saying, "Jesus, I can see my God from here, so let's stay." But God has other plans. And so God sends a cloud to envelop the disciples, a cloud so thick that they cannot see. They cannot see Moses and Elijah. They cannot see God's glory shining in Jesus' face. They can see none of the things they expect to see of God, and so they cannot be distracted by what they think they should be looking for. All they can do is listen. And in that cloud of unknowing, what they hear is the voice of the Heavenly Father say, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." But that Heavenly Father might as well have said, "I beg you to look at my Son." Because when that cloud is lifted, God shows the disciples, God shows us what the Son of God, what the Chosen One looks like. And it turns out he looks a lot like us. Because when the cloud is lifted, what we see is just Jesus alone. There is no entourage, there is no divine glow, no shining aura of glory. There is just a man who is prepared to face suffering and death. This is the face of God that we are given. It is the face of a father's son, of a father's only child who will shriek, who will convulse as he suffers and is tormented. God has given the disciples, God has given us a sight of God's glory. God has shown us God's love and light, God's power and might. God has shown us God's victory over slavery and death. God has shown us that our ancestors in faith are alive in Him and are rejoicing and cheering us on. God has shown us all this glory. But God asks us to see it in the face of Jesus. God asks us to see it in the face of a father's only son who will suffer, so that in the suffering that we face, we might see the face of God. So that when we, like the disciples, come down from our mountain retreats down to the valley of the shadow of death, and a father comes, a father in first century Palestine or 21st century Ukraine, or our own father comes and begs us, saying, "I beg you to look at my son," we will see what the Father wants us to see. Not the shrieks, not the convulsing, not the suffering, but a father's only child, the only son of the Father, Jesus. We will see God. And then we will not look away. We will not look away out of some false sense of consideration, for we will know that the person who is suffering has nothing left to hide. We will not look away out of fear, for we will have seen the end that awaits us, which is the victory in Christ. We will not look away out of shame, for though we may not have the power to overcome that suffering, we see the God who does, for our God is present in that place of pain, and so we call upon Him to bring healing and wholeness and peace, just as Jesus did when He came down the mountain and saw a boy who was a father's only son. Jesus saw in him himself, saw the face of God. And by the power of that God who is present even in pain, Jesus rebukes the spirit, heals the boy, brings peace, and gives the boy back to his father, just as Jesus will be given back to his father. We may struggle to see God in the suffering that we face. And so in the suffering, Jesus shows us the face of God, the God whose end we have already seen. And so, having seen that end, the end of our suffering, may we have courage to face it, to see the God within and call on Him to bring healing and peace to this world. Amen.